interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here is one that definitely caught our attention. The media has just learned that in May of 2013, Sony filed a patent in the United States for a smart contact lens that operates as a hidden camera. We're talking about a contact lens that can not only take photos and video, but also store data with no need for a tether to a smartphone or anything else. The lens would feature an electroluminescence display screen, and apparently the user can blink his or her eye in certain ways in order to adjust the features and operate this thing. And they say it's going to be able to record, store things, play back on the contact lens, or transfer it to another device via Bluetooth. Privacy, my friends, that is an ancient concept. As they say, be careful what you say and what you do. Hey, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, what's going on? You know, I saw that the newest generation of Google Glass is supposed to be contact lens based. If I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, because the problem with that was it was pretty cool. Well, you looked. It was like when Bluetooth earpieces first came out, and it was like they were bulky, and now you're that guy with the big thing on his ear. The glasses kind of had that same. It just didn't blend. But if it's in your eye and you've got multiple channels going on, and you can, it's crazy, man.
Sam, his cameras are so small that people are hiding them all the time now in bedrooms and secretly videotaping people in intimate moments.
Why?
So now
you don't say.
Yeah, can you imagine what this technology is going to really turn into? I mean, this is going to be a pervert's dream.
It's going to make this whole North Carolina bathroom situation seem pretty obsolete at some point.
Yeah, yeah. And but you know, if you were going to ask me if I would get something like this, I mean, I'd be tempted to, because that there are occasions when maybe you're at a restaurant and you're not being treated well, or you're at an airport and things go awry, and you think,
man, pulled over.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I wish I had a little hidden camera to document what this idiot has just said or done. You know, that kind of thing would be helpful.
Eventually, you could probably use your eyes as a built-in camera, HD camera, and then record straight to a hard drive or some cloud or something, and you could make movies while you live.
Yeah, you know, I think somebody is definitely going to do that. In fact, it goes back to this idea that we were discussing before, that right now, gradually, we are taking the human experience and we are somehow imprinting it upon the digital world. Every time you send an email, every time you send a text, or you post something on Facebook, or right now as we're talking to each other, this is being converted into an electronic medium. Well, there's going to be some super brain computer, probably in the not too distant future, that will be able to search and find all the little digital electronic representations of you or me, and then through some complex algorithm, mesh them all together, and you get like the Marlon Brando face floating in midair from Superman the movie, and this becomes a virtual representation of what you were probably like. So
what about this,
you can
then
talk to it.
Okay, so like we get an email today from work here, from engineering, and they're like, you guys really need to clean up the hard drives. We're at critical mass with space issues. And, I mean, we have a ton. I mean, we have so many terabytes of storage, and it's all filled up, you know. So, like, that's just a building, you know. Like, who's going – like, where does all this information end up? And, then, like, who's hosting it? And – you know, I mean, at some point, like, what if there was, like, we ran out of, we're running out of natural resources. What if we run out of digital resources?
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, though, it makes you think perhaps this information is actually being stored somewhere in the environment. And, you know, it reminds me of these people who have this psychic ability called psychometry, where they can put their hands on an object and then supposedly they can sense all of this information regarding the history of the object. And that's one reason, I guess, it's kind of cool to have a museum where you collect little bits and pieces that, you know, physical things that maybe are associated with the historic incident, and which is actually a really nice tie-in to the fact that a few days ago, I did an investigation of a site that I would like to talk about here shortly. It actually is an ancient ceremonial site here in Puerto Rico, and it was only discovered about 40 years ago. The way it was discovered is just – it's a really creepy, weird story. But this place now houses, as the archaeologists and anthropologists call it, the oldest astronomical observatory in the entire Caribbean, in all the Antilles, all the islands around here. So I wanted to go there to this ancient observatory. Now, we're talking about people living at this site at least as far back as the time of Jesus, possibly much, much longer or much farther back in history. And I thought, what do they mean, astronomical observatory? I mean, you can go out in the parking lot and look at the sky, and that's technically an astronomical observatory. So what do they mean by this? Well, I'll tell the audience soon here about, you know, exactly what I found there and how it lines up with some of the other kind of UFO and alien-oriented stuff I've discovered here in the Bermuda Triangle. And again, it addresses this idea of what is technology and how far have we come and where are we going with this. Also, tonight on the show, hour number two, our good old pal, Grandmaster Tom Cameron, is going to join us for a bit. He has got an announcement. I think he may be breaking this for the first time in any media tonight on Speaking of Strange. Of course, Grandmaster Tom Cameron is known as the human stun gun. He has been on Ripley's Believe It or Not. He's been on Stan Lee's Superhumans. He does these demonstrations where he appears to project some kind of an energy field that can knock a person down without any physical contact. These are very controversial, sensational things he does. He has a lot of students. And he lives in Chicago, Illinois. And in fact, I have visited him there on a number of occasions and worked on him, worked doing research projects with him.
You live in parts of that area, you need to be the human AK-47.
Well, yeah, he said that's what happened. He grew up on the south side of Chicago, yeah. And you know, he said that somebody put a gun in his mouth at one time and pulled the trigger, and the gun didn't go off.
Oh.
That's when he realized, I better learn how to defend myself pretty damn quick. So he's going to come on the show tonight, and he's going to tell us about an event that he is producing in Chicago. He hopes to do it this fall, and it's actually pretty cool because this is something that anybody who's interested in the mysterious or the paranormal can get involved with. And I might even go up there and participate in this. And who knows, Sam, you like Chicago, right?
I've only been a few times. My sisters used to both go to college there. So, you know, it was windy.
Yeah. Maybe we could go. I'm not sure about investigator Shelley Wright. By the way, folks, tonight, Shelley Wright is in the field. She is conducting actual paranormal investigations. I don't want to reveal on the air exactly where she is because it might jeopardize some of her investigations. But she's going to have a great report very soon. I presume that she'll be back in time for our show next week, and she's going to tell us about some of the places that she is checking out for the show. And so
I also don't want to like say too much about this either, but me and her the other week, we had a little ceremony at midnight under a bridge, in the rain.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty interesting. But I don't know what she'd want me to tell, so I'm not going to tell tales out of school or anything.
Well, I will just say this quickly before we go to break then. I did, of course, bring back some voodoo dolls for the two of you when I went to New Orleans earlier this year.
Yes, you did.
And after you got your voodoo doll, a lot of little things started going wrong in your life, right? Things breaking down.
My body getting broken and organs getting bruised.
Right. And so we were trying to do some work in the studio last week, and just nothing would work. And it became apparent that maybe the doll had a role to play because you actually had brought the doll.
It was in the studio. It was it was right here on the console. And we took it out, and then it got a little better. But then we left and took it down to the river, and she said something to the heavens, and we screamed like old girls at one point. It was crazy. But it was pretty cool.
But things have improved now,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it literally feels like a cloud in some ways has been lifted. So appreciate that again. Thank you. just got me a tank top or something.
Anyway, at least you experienced a little piece of New Orleans magic. When we come back, I'll tell you all about this little adventure that I took to this ancient ceremonial site where they found already almost 200 bodies and some of the spooky things happening there and, gosh, a lot more. It's the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Yeah, broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. Thanks for spending your evening with us, and tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop. You'll find a live chat during the show. You'll find all of our podcasts for going back years. And I want to let everybody know that our last show included an hour two, when I talked about my tips on how to win at the slot machines in a casino. And a lot of people heard that, and a lot of people went out to try it, and I have just been getting phone calls and emails and messages from people saying, whoa, this worked! Thank you, my goodness! Here's just one of them right now I have in front of me that I asked permission to read. It says, and I'm going to read this verbatim. The subject line of this email is thank you, exclamation point. Here's how it starts out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Joshua. Exclamation point. It says, this was my first time playing at Harrah's Casino in Cherokee last night, and I profited $350. My 74-year-old mother came with me. We were both feeling a sense of awe. It was her first time also. I listened carefully to all that you said on the radio, and we applied it. We played on the games outside of the high limit section. The winning sounds and the cash out feeling goes beyond description. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. That's from Phyllis. And also, there were other people who won over $2,000 after listening to that show, who wanted to call me and tell me about it. And so if you missed that one, well, you can go listen to it right now. You don't have to sign up for anything. It doesn't cost you a penny. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll simply see last week's show listed there, hour one, hour two, hour three. There is the description of the show, and you can just click hour two in this case and listen to those tips and keep sending me your positive feedback. So that's very exciting, and I'm glad to know that there are people who are being helped by that advice, and it comes from a lot of experience in the casino, I tell you that. So I mentioned that I did my own little interesting investigation a few days ago here in Puerto Rico. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be here before I head back to the States, and so while I'm here, I'm definitely taking advantage of things. In fact, I'm working on a project right now to set up at least one camera, possibly a couple, two or three, at some of these active UFO hotspots around here, cameras that will be streaming live images 24 hours a day. And that way, wherever I am, I can keep an eye on things, and you'll be able to do the same. That's my plan, is to get it worked out so that anybody can go to these websites and watch these live streams. So I'm always checking out these interesting spots on the island, and I started reading about this indigenous ceremonial grounds called Tibes, T-I-B-E-S. That's the name of a community in the town of Ponce, Puerto Rico. And for those of you who are into geography, if you imagine that Puerto Rico is roughly shaped like a rectangle, Ponce is the town that's more or less right in the middle of the southern coast. And a very nice place, very popular place. And about 40 years ago, sort of an earth-shattering archaeological discovery occurred there. And I was there talking to locals and trying to get the scoop. Well, there was this guy who lived next to what at that time was just a big overgrown field, a lot of, you know, jungly kind of environment, but there were also some cattle and some horses milling around. And this guy had a small house that was right next to it. And he started telling people that the woods, as he put it, next to his house
were haunted. And people say, what are you talking about? Because it's not very popular in Puerto Rico to talk about ghosts. And he kept saying that at night he could hear voices outside in the woods that sounded to him like Indians talking. It's an odd thing to say, but that was what he told people, that it just seemed like that there were a bunch of sort of native languages, and he knew there was nobody out there, and he'd shine the light around. But this inspired him one day to go over to this field and start poking around, and he found a coin, and he cleaned the coin up, and it turns out this thing was gold. And so when he realized he had a gold coin, he decided to obviously sell this thing. And it's when he took it out there trying to sell it that at some point he had to explain where he had gotten this. This brought that site to the attention of the Puerto Rican government. Some archaeologists went to investigate, and that's when they discovered, oh my goodness, this is one of the most important sites we've ever found in the Caribbean. This is one of the largest ceremonial sites of its kind. And basically, they said that this particular site that still has a lot left to be uncovered is a site where they found the sacred burial ground. Already they found almost 200 bodies there. I'm sure there are plenty, plenty more. There are a number of these ball courts there. And the ball courts are especially famous when you start reading about, like, the Mayans. A lot of the Mesoamericans would play these games where essentially they'd have, like, a big rectangular area cordoned off with stones, and they would have a large ball made of rubber and plant leaves. And these two teams would, you know, bat this ball back and forth. And if you happened to be on the losing team, well, then you could be mutilated or sacrificed. I mean, they would kill you.
That doesn't sound like a very fun game.
Oh, no. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you didn't get killed, then they would try to cut off your manhood, is what I understand. That was the popular thing to do to relieve you of the family jewels. Okay. And that's if you were allowed to survive.
That was the winning team.
Could be. And so, therefore, they had, you know, all kinds of different places there where they would obviously conduct ceremonies like weddings or funerals, or if they were going to sell their daughter to somebody else, or, you know, or they just wanted to get together and have a party.
Chop off manhoods, whatever.
Yeah. They found all kinds of different interesting statues. And a lot of little seashell pieces that gave an indication of, you know, how they were bringing all this seafood in and having feasts and whatnot. So anyway, I was most interested, however, in why they considered this to be the oldest astronomical observatory in the Caribbean. And anything that may be connected to, you know, the heavens here is of interest to me, because it might give some clue as to this UFO activity that has been going on for a long time. It's I believe it's certainly ancient UFO activity. And so so one of the things that I did was I tell you what, we're coming up on a break, but I was very fortunate. I got to meet one of the experts at this property who not only gave me the information I was looking for, but he went above and beyond, and I even got to go behind the scenes a little bit. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Also, there's a news story I want to get to that's really cool. Scientists are saying that they now have proof that the core of Earth is much, much younger than its crust. Now, how could that be? They say it has to do with gravity. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Just an earthbound history.
Yeah, it's the show where the unusual becomes usual, called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville. And the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. I also want to point out, since I am discussing Puerto Rico, I have a good friend here I've known for about 10 years who is a bona fide Santero. So that means he is a priest, and his particular form of Santeria is focused on a religion called Ifa. This gentleman's name is Santero David Longley, and he has a heck of a life story. He is in his 70s now. He's very in touch with nature. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have a computer. He lives alone. Well, he's got a dog, and he is an incredible artist. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's painting or sculpting or doing crafts. I mean, the guy, he is a world-renowned artist who has works in museums and esteemed private collections all around the world. And Lauren and I really enjoy visiting him from time to time and seeing what he's been up to. And in the past, when I've done expeditions here in Puerto Rico, whenever possible, I try to find an opportunity to get the group together to spend an evening with Santero Longley and learn about the spiritual traditions here in the islands. So anyway, given his talent, recently I was having dinner with him and I said, you know, from time to time I offer magic wands to the people who subscribe to my e-newsletter, because there are a lot of people out there like myself who are interested in magic wands and they like to collect them. And I said, I bet if you made a collection of magic wands, people would go nuts, you know, given who you are. And he thought that sounded like a great idea because he has experience creating them. And I said, well, would you want to just make a collection, just a one-time thing? And he said, absolutely. So he called me like a month later, and he created this collection of 18 magic wands. Every single one is different. Each one has a theme and is made of different materials. One is called like the Merlin wand. One is the dragon wand. Some are magnetic, some are not, but each one is a beautiful work of art and a very powerful tool if you experiment with manifestation. So I took all these wands, I photographed them, I shot a little video with him where he's talking about how he made them, and I put them on my website and I sent out an e-newsletter, and these things started selling just immediately. And they're not cheap, okay? I mean, like, they range anywhere from $495 up to $995, but that you know, that doesn't matter because people realize their value. And I'm not sure how many we have left, but if you want to see these wands, even if you don't want to buy one, just go check them out. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Click the link to my curiosity shop, and if you scroll down to the bottom of the curiosity shop page, you'll see a banner there that says Authentic Santero Wands. And you can go watch the video of me interviewing him about how he made these wands. It's really cool. But getting back to you know, my friends in Puerto Rico, one of my greatest friends is Captain Margarita. We call her Ita. She is well, we've talked a lot about Ita on this show before. Ita is a woman who is she's a retired Navy officer. She's the real deal. She's got a boat, and she and I are always running around getting into mischief here. So she and I went to investigate this indigenous site that I was telling you about, and we had the great privilege of talking to one of the most knowledgeable people at this site, and this guy spent a lot of time with us. He realized how serious we were, even took us behind the scenes, showed us things that had not even been cataloged yet, you know, skulls and weird statues. And let me tell you, 90% of the statues that these people made look like little aliens. I mean, I'm dead serious. It looks like little aliens. In fact, I'll post some pictures. Maybe I'll put a picture up somewhere at speakingofstrange.com or on my Facebook page or something. But I was asking him, why is this considered an ancient astronomical observatory? And so we went over to this big section where there are these large stone structures that looked kind of like slightly curved arrows. And they all sort of formed a large circle. And that circle had certain points that were open. And he was telling me that if you look at the night sky, especially during the solstices, that these spaces, these open spaces, line up just perfectly with all of these celestial events. And so, you know, that could be, I thought that was pretty interesting. But here was the thing that I thought was even more intriguing. If you went to the actual sort of centerpiece, like the main stage, where all of these people, and we're talking about many different types of tribes going back for thousands of years, would have these rituals, there were a series of stones that were laid out forming a single line, and that alignment crossed the entire piece of property. So you could stand on one side of the property in front of one of these stones, lift up your camera, and you could see, okay, now there's another stone maybe like 25 feet away, now there's another stone like 20 feet away, etc. And so all these stones were lined up. Now, you would think that people who lived thousands of years ago, who didn't have a heck of a lot to look at, who were obviously paying a lot of attention to the sky because they didn't have TV and cell phones and books and whatnot, that if they were going to create an alignment, that it would make sense they would do like an east to west alignment, because the sun is the most impressive thing out there, and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But actually, as it turns out, they did an alignment from the northeast to the southwest.
Get out.
And here's why that's significant. All these years here in Puerto Rico, whenever someone has told me they've seen a UFO or a USO, I always try to figure out what direction it was coming from and what direction it was going to. And all the time, over and over, in every case, this UFO that people see, they're always traveling toward the northeast or the southwest. They're never going south, never going north, never east, never west. It's always that diagonal. Now, if you take out a map and you draw a line from Puerto Rico down to the southwest, you hit parts of South America that are just absolutely famous because of all the pyramids and all the UFO activity and all of the spiritual traditions that are so pronounced there. So
isn't,
I believe there's
where
a
those,
connection.
In the South America, where those lines, like those ridges of stones, like hundreds of miles long, like the unexplained stones that go like through the Andes or something?
Yeah, like the Nazca lines.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that these are, you know, it's part of a larger highway, like an extraterrestrial highway, if you want to look at it that way. And so I am, continuing to find these patterns. And I am going to actually have more information. I'll have follow-ups on this as I do more research. But I wanted to at least give everybody sort of a heads up on this since I just did it a few days ago. But before we get too short on time, I do want to jump to this other story because, again, this ties in. I'm talking about the idea that maybe there are pathways that these UFOs are able to traverse more easily. Maybe it has something to do with the gravitational field of Earth.
It's like the alien Gulf Stream.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's stronger in some places. It's weaker in some places. You have, you know, certain circuits that, you know, call them ley lines or whatever. And now scientists have come out with this fascinating story. Earth's core is 2.5 years younger than its crust.
Two and a half. Not million or billion. 2.5
Yeah. 2.5
That seems very minuscule on a Earth level. You know, it's like billions of years ago. They're like 2.5 That's tiny.
It is, but it's actually giant if you consider that gravity is an extremely weak force. It takes something big like Earth, however, to make this weak force meaningful. And apparently, in terms of gravitational distortion, I mean, a 2.5 year difference, given that distance, you know, is definitely notable. And they say it's because that the center of the Earth has a stronger gravitational field than the crust of the Earth. And we know that a strong gravitational field slows down time. And so because of the placement of the Earth's inner material within that denser gravitational field, it literally, they're saying, literally is younger than the stuff that's a little bit farther out. And this has been tested. They're saying this is verified. And, you know, I have said for years when I've tried to explain to people gravitational anomalies that it has been proven that a clock in your basement runs slower than a clock in your attic. It's for this same reason. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then, maybe I'll give you – oh, yeah, this is another good one I've got to share with you as well. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
Master Tom Cameron, the human stun gun, because he has something new that he wants to announce to all of you tonight, and it's something that you might even be able to participate in, especially if you are interested in the mysterious and the paranormal, and I assume you are, and that's probably why you enjoy this particular program. But I do want to wrap up a couple of these stories before the break. You know, I was talking about how amazing it is that there was a time, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago or something like that, when there was still a great deal of doubt about some of, say, Albert Einstein's theories on the relationship between gravity and time, and how that this force called gravity might actually be able to bend and reshape this almost unimaginable thing called time. But now they're saying, hey, we see it every day. Clocks flown at 30,000 feet run faster than those left behind on the ground because of gravitational time dilation. So we're understanding so much more about the way the universe is composed, and not just understanding it, but, you know, proving it over and over again. And then I read this story, and this almost gave me a little chill when I thought about all the implications because, you know, I've been talking on this program about the power of the new virtual reality that's available. And I couldn't help it. I had to go out and buy my own virtual reality setup. And I'll tell you more about that some other time. But I've been having a blast just, you know, like losing myself in all these virtual worlds. And I see this story. Microsoft is buying 10 million strands of what are called long oligonucleotides. Now, you ask yourself, what the heck is that? Well, this is a laboratory-made molecule of DNA. So basically, it's artificial DNA. And it says that Microsoft is looking at using DNA molecules as a way to store massive amounts of data. We're talking about one strand of this being able to actually store the entire internet.
What?
Yeah. Now, if indeed the design of a DNA strand is technologically sophisticated enough to store that amount of complex information and to store it durably, then maybe, hey, that's just what we all are. That basically we're just back engineering the human organism, that reality is virtual reality.
That would be 1.2 zettabytes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how much data exists on the internet. 1.2 zettabytes, which is 1.3 trillion gigabytes.
It doesn't even really sound like that much. It just shows you how much a trillion is, right?
But remember that time you talked about, like, if you were a baby and you came out of the womb counting?
Yeah.
Like, you'd be something like 33 if you were counting 1 second. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it was something like, you got like 33 before you got to a million or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, wow, that is a huge number.
And then if you were going to count to a trillion, you'd be like, yeah, like a million years old or something crazy. Yeah. We were talking not too long ago about how the Hitachi has already created these little... It looks like little glass squares, like if you took a microscope slide and cut it in half, a little kind of two-dimensional piece of glass made out of quartz crystal that is capable of storing hundreds of terabytes. And they have taken this and exposed it to something like 2,000-degree Fahrenheit temperatures for hours, and it does not degrade the data in any way. So that's just using... the complexity of a crystalline structure. But obviously there is nothing that we're aware of in the universe that is more mysterious and advanced than the brain, the human brain, and this thing called consciousness. And obviously that design is represented somehow in the DNA strand. So it does make sense that this strand would inherently possess some type of framework for this incredible amount of information to be stored. And so therefore, why should we not think that, okay, well, we're just a bunch of computers? I mean, that's what we are. And that, you know, we have this incredibly complicated chip, and we've now reached a point where we've gotten smart enough to examine our own chips and figure out how they work. I tell you what, chew on that for a little bit. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, who knows, maybe Grandmaster Tom Cameron will have some thoughts on this, since he's a guy who works with consciousness and meditation and energy and the force, really. It's the show where we dig into, well, the apex, the summit of man's enlightenment, and yes, also the pit of his depravity. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. It's Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Stay with us.